Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it?
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Pathay, and today's date is September the 2nd in the year of 2020. Ladies and gentlemen, believe it or not, the year we are in the last quarter of this year, going into our fall season. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a very, very exciting edition of Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black Americans. For you today, we have a scheduled guest, Mr. Will Shirley, the president and CEO of Sundial Solar Developers, Inc., and I'm hoping he will be joining us very, very shortly. But until then, we definitely intend to start off and set the table while we're waiting for our guests to join us here on this show. Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And you know, if you join us on a regular basis, you know the slogan for the show. If there's power in numbers, then the positive change purchasing cooperative captures that power for your financial benefit. Now, the positive change purchasing cooperative LLC serves as a blueprint for economic self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American solar installation, design, workforce development, training, and installation companies to address the effects of high energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, to utilize Black-owned farmlands and HBCU campuses to develop capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects to bring down the unemployment and underemployment of young Black men and women locally and nationally, to educate the Black community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the Black community through Black Talk Radio shows such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. It's also brought to you every week, ladies and gentlemen, by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative, which you're listening to now over the World Wide Web, broadcasting over Blog Talk Radio, streaming over Facebook, Twitter, and Link. And we will, hopefully in the very, very near future, we're setting up our YouTube channel so you'll be able to get more information and we'll be able to broaden our reach to the African-American community. But ladies and gentlemen, as I've indicated to you, we have a very, very, very exciting show for you today. And I'm pleased and privileged to have on our guest line, Mr. Will Shirley, the founder and president of Sundial Solar Developers out of Jackson, Mississippi. Good morning, Mr. Shirley.
Good morning, Mr. Bethay, and good morning to your listening audience.
Well, the topic of my show today Mr. Shirley, is a candid conversation with Will Shirley about the virtual brain trust session for the CBC 2020. But before we sort of jump into that, I want to sort of set the table for our listening audience. And our listening audience, you know, you can join us by dialing 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Now, we here at the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, if you've been listening to us or following us over the last 4 years, you know we beat the drum around the issue of equity. We beat the drum around inclusion. We beat the drum around the need for outreach and community engagement of educating the Black community around the industry, the renewable energy industry, which will be solar, wind, hydronetics. Now, we know that it's always an uphill battle when it comes to trying to educate our community, the Black community, a community that 400 years ago in this country, it was illegal for us to read. It was illegal for anyone to teach us how to read. We know the struggles that we are facing in this year, 2020, as we suffer from the COVID-19 pandemic and the other pandemic of white supremacy and racism in this country. And we're going to delve down on the solar industry, and we're going to look at one of the most vehemently racist organ structures in this country, which is the solar industry, as it relates to African Americans being hired in this industry. So I want to sort of set the table a little better for you, Mr. Shirley. People can log on to our website at positivechangepc.com. You can click on our news and events tab, and you can scroll down to the caption that will speak to the National Association of Blacks and Solar 2020 Virtual Brain Trust, which yours truly, working with Mr. Will Shirley, has worked very tirelessly. But let me sort of break this down. The Brain Trust is entitled Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. If it sounds familiar, well, it should. And communities of color. The current corona crisis has destroyed millions of American jobs, including hundreds of thousands in clean energy. As Congress in the first week of July started deliberating and debating economic stimulus support for the energy industry, a new analysis of unemployment data showed that the biggest part of the American energy economy, clean energy, lost another 27,000 jobs in the month of May of this year, 2020, bringing the total number of clean energy workers who lost jobs in the past 3 months in the solar industry to 620,500. Let me repeat myself. 620,500. Now, what we have to look at is what is the impact on our African American solar installation design companies. It has exacerbated historic environmental injustices. And with all of this, we need millions of construction jobs, skilled trades, and engineering workers to build a new American infrastructure and clean energy economy. These jobs will create pathways for young people and for older workers, shifting the new professions and shifting to new professions and for people of all backgrounds and communities. A recent press release by the Biden campaign entitled Biden's Plan to Build a Modern Sustainability Infrastructure and an Equitably Clean Energy Future. If Biden is elected in November, his administration will spend, and make a $2 trillion accelerated investment with the plan to deploy these resources over the first term, setting us on an irreversible course to meet the ambitious climate process and science that science demands. The question becomes, where is the green economic development plan for Black America? And on that note, welcome, Mr. Shirley, to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Once again, Mr. Bidet, I want to indicate to your listening audience that your involvement in this arena over the past 4 years is significant in that it, your involvement, your research, your data has is supporting an effort that all Black Americans ought to be able to delve into and understand. It also gives support to one of the, let me just say a historic event. That historic event is the implementation of what's called the National Association of Blacks in Solar. There is no such association that's operating in the United States right now. There is no pathways for our Black kids, our Black solar industry owners to do the things it's supposed to do relative to our communities. For example, there is no public awareness that exists on a national scale about our, that is, Black folks' position in the solar economy. There's just nothing out there that goes to scale that we need to go to scale. There is no strategy except for the strategy that you, Mr. Bethay, has put together with your partners to address ineptitude, because our HBCUs just have not come together under one significant strategy that will help all of us. So there's also no concerted strategy that refocuses workforce development resources in Black communities relative to solar. There's no solar-based economic development strategy that exists that delivers long-term solar policy for the Black community. There's no targeted job training that exists in America for Blacks that want to get into this multi-trillion dollar industry going forward. So we as Black people cannot afford to lose a position, or, well, actually we don't have a position, but we cannot afford to be on this same level next year with none of the advantages that we need as a Black community nationwide in order to accomplish adequate infusion into the solar industry. So the point being made is that we need, black people in this country need, the National Association of Blacks in Solar, because it will address several, and not only the issues that I just mentioned, but issues that are relevant to our training resources, relative to our schools, relative to our businesses. We cannot miss this opportunity that the solar industry has created for others and not for us.
Well, Will, on that note, I want to, as we, Brother Malcolm said, I want to make this plain to our community. Now, as we look at the statistical data put out by the Solar Foundation 2019 Diversity Report, we have a little over 9,000 solar companies doing business in the United States. But we have only been able, the 4 years that I've been researching and doing the data, putting together a database, I've only been able to verify less than 20 African-American solar installation design companies and installation companies and workforce development training companies doing business in the United States. Now, when we begin to look at South, Southwest, East Coast, and major cities and urban markets across the United States where large percentages of our African-American population is based and reside, it makes it almost impossible to increase market share for African-American solar design companies and workforce and development companies to increase their market share. When we take a look at the Solar Foundation's 2019 U.S. Solar Industry Diversity Study says the diversity shortfall is not unique in the solar industry. The Government Accountability Office found that as of 2019, women represented 22% of the technology workforce, and the African American workers currently represent only 7%. These figures remain virtually unchanged over decades. More than that, that 2019 report went on to say, when we began to look at management in the solar industry, it is 80% white men, 8% white women. That only leaves 12% for all other races on the planet. Last time I checked, you only get 100%. Now, as we begin to look at the Solar Foundation information, and we look at third-party recruiters, which are independent recruiters contracted by solar companies to uncover, vet, and do hiring, the question is, how many of these third-party recruiters are African-American companies that have been contracted to look for talent at our HBCUs? Well, if you ever heard of SLIM, and you ever heard of Nunn, well, SLIM left the building 6 months ago and Nunn didn't show up for work. This is preposterous, ladies and gentlemen.
It is.
Let's look at, as we look at upstream companies engaging in manufacturing, sales and distribution activities, other solar firms that provide financing services, legal services, research and advocacy services, not-for-profit organizations that provide educational activities in communities across the country nationally to educate our communities about renewable energy, and specifically solar, the African-American presence in these areas is non-existent. After 12 years of the solar industry being the fastest growing industry for jobs growth in the United States of America. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to take my word for it. You don't have to take Mr. Will Shirley, who is the owner of the only African-American solar installation and design company doing business in the state of Mississippi in 2020. Now, let's look at the fact that when we drill down and we begin to look at the charts, worker, solar worker demographics, female, and this is for 2019, female, 26%, gender, non-binary, 0.7, Latino, Hispanic, 17.2, Asian, Indian, and Alaskan, 1.2, Asian, 8.5, African-American, our community, 7.7, Hawaii and other Pacific Islanders, 1.2, white Americans command 73.2% of this industry. Two or more races, we're talking about mixed people of mixed race, 8.2, veterans of U.S. Armed Services, 7.6%, for age, for people who are 55 and older, working in this industry, is 10.4%. And I wanted to deal with that issue of age because it's very, very important, because it's a heavy thing when you get over 50 years old and then you go out looking for jobs and you're walking in with your little you got to dig the mothballs off of your resume, and you're walking in, you got young MBAs just come out of business schools around this country. Who do you think these companies are going to hire? So, because you're old, that doesn't mean that you're useless and you don't have anything to contribute. But if we can't grow our own companies,
there you go,
create these opportunities for our people, we have a problem, ladies and gentlemen. So we took this to the Congressional Black Caucus because we wanted to roll out our introduction to the National Association of Blacks in Solar. We are trading as Blacks in Solar, which has been incorporated. So we applied for a virtual brain trust session for this 2020 CBC, being that it will not be physically held here in Washington, D.C., we have applied for a position to be able to be one of the participants doing their virtual session. Now, we're going to share this information, and we're going to get all of this information out to us. But if you're out there and you're listening, I want you to join this conversation by dialing 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Now, Mr. Shirley, you're quite aware that we have dotted I's and crossed our T's. And the deadline for getting that application into the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation was August the 7th, which we met. The date to get the $5,000 payment, ladies and gentlemen, yes, I said $5,000 payment to be on a Zoom call in their portal for 1 hour and a half, 90 minutes, We got that money in on time. It was the 14th of August. Now, we have been informed that we were guaranteed by Mrs. Thelma Barnett, who initially started the I had the communication with Dr. Lillian Abrams of Peer Consultants, which is also one of our companies that's one of our charter members of the National Association of Blacks and Solar. In fact, would be guaranteed a position because this needed to be rolled out to the black community, to black America. So we did all that. Now we're being told that the Congressional Black Caucus had such a demand this year for the CB participating in their virtual brain trust, in their brain trust session, that they had gotten more applications than they needed, not than they needed, but they got more applications than they thought they could, and that we were in the portal, but we were fourth in line because of when they received our payment. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me educate you on this. On the 31st of August, the CBC Virtual Brain Trust started, and I have been participating in it. I've looked at the events and the links to the events, and you can go to the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation.org, and you will be able to find this information. Once you go into register and go into the virtual session, you'll find out that they're not only doing one virtual session a day. There's no way that there should not have been a space for the National Association of Blacks and Solars virtual session to take place. But we're rolling out the same information here. But the
Mr. Bethea?
Mr. Bethea?
Yes, Mr. Shirley. Can you hear me, Mr.
Okay.
Shirley?
I can now. I can now.
Okay.
I just couldn't hear you for a second. But okay. I hear you
no
now.
No problem. Okay. Now, I'm laying out the scenario concerning this process. Our introduction of the National Association.
My signal is fading.
Conversation.
Okay, I had lost your signal for a minute, and I'm back on now.
Yeah, go right ahead. I was just sharing with the listening audience the scenario of which we applied for the virtual session with the Congress.
Okay.
Guaranteed a position by Mrs. Thelma Barnett, who is the person who was they got four other companies in front of us because they had such a demand. But when the virtual sessions began and we looked up, I thought they had it was just a situation where they just didn't have, when they said they didn't have
Walk up this way. I think so. Let me try. Okay, I got it.
Gentlemen, is this. I asked Mr. Shirley to come on the show today to talk about this process of bringing the National Association of Blacks in SOLA to a reality, because I have been working with Mr. Mark Davis, the founder of Doug. Expenditure for that virtual session. So he was our sponsor for this, and I want to say gentlemen, is waiting for Mr. Shirley to come back to the phone. Mr. Shirley.
I'm here. I'm here, Ron. I'm kind of in a situation where the signal is not strong, but as long as people can hear me.
Yeah, we hear you loud and clear. Will, go right ahead.
Let me say this about the National Association of Blacks in SOLA. You know, there's an organization called SIA, the SOLA Industry, the SOLA Industries Association. There's ACES, the American Society for Solar Energy. There's various other national associations in solar, but those associations seem not to be focused on the particulars of blacks in solar, and or they're not associated with the concerns and the disparities that exist in the solar industry. So it is a necessity that our people experience all of the benefits of the solar industry and not be left behind. If we're left behind now, we surely will be totally out of the picture in terms of new black companies coming along, new students in school learning about renewable energy and planning an economic story for their families and their lives. It is necessary, absolutely necessary, that the National Association of Blacks in Solar begin its operations very soon, because what it will address is the solar economic research and public awareness that's involved in solar, that's involved for particularly for our communities. It will address education in solar in our communities, particularly in our HBCUs, but also in our K-12 systems. It will address it will bring forth a national consultancy that can help black towns and counties and political districts in fashioning their solar approach to deliver jobs and to deliver a clean environment and to deliver when I say jobs, I mean solar jobs, and engage the black community, the black solar companies that do exist in these processes. You know, there's the legal division within the National Association of Blacks in Solar. And that legal division will do the things it needs to do in order to guarantee our position in the industry. We're being left behind, ladies and gentlemen, and it's very, very serious. If we don't get a toehold now, we will be forever left out of the economics of solar in the United States.
So it is just, our leaders, our mayors, our county supervisors, our university presidents, our school district supervisors, all play a significant leadership role in this. However, they are unaware. And that's what the Solar National Association of Solar will begin to do, Blacks in Solar, will begin to do is make all of these people across the country, all of our leaders, aware of the significance of our participation in the solar industry.
Well, you know, that's quite interesting to me because I don't even say I agree that we have a lot of uninformed people in our community. But I'm not so sure that they're not aware. My question is, do they care? See, I like to make it plain on this show, Will, and you were very, very, very kind when you got to talking about the Solar Industry Trade Association, Mrs. Abigail Harper, who's the national director. I've invited her on this platform for numerous times, and you know, I got that old Southern attitude, as my girl, because I'm from the South, and I know that growing up in the 50s, I saw how black men, when they spoke to white men, what kind of response they didn't if they weren't spoken to first. They got totally ignored. So what I'm saying is, we're not going to be ignored on this one, Mr. Will. And as many folks might know, I'm an old athlete. I played for legendary Earl Banks back in the day when we had the real Morgan Bears, back when you had the Walter Paytons at Jackson State, Jerome Barkhams at Jackson State. Tennessee State had the two tall Jones back in them days.
Yep.
So that's my era.
Right.
So it was called the Golden Era. And we would have played Alabama, we'd have played University of Maryland, we'd have played any of them major white schools back then. And we'd have kicked where the sun wouldn't shine because our best talent was still at our historically black colleges and universities. But it's like now, if you go out there now and our schools match up against these schools, it's like taking a hoopty and going to the Daytona, Indy 500, Daytona. We got no chance because they got all our horses from the black community. And this is what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen. This is what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen. We are in the golden age of solar for black folks. That age is now. Barack Hussein Obama, when you go to my website, positivechangepc.com, click on the news and click on the video that says Sunshot Identity Initiative, and the video lays it out. Guess who brought Barack Hussein Obama to the presidency? Our community, we voted like we never voted before, like our lives depended on it, just like we got a vote again in 2020. Biden was his vice president, but it's his administration that jump-started solar in this country. Solar is over 40-something years old. It is not new. It came from the space exploration. It's
That's
not
right.
new, but it didn't get started until Katrina hit New Orleans. And a young man by the name of Van Jones, who started an organization
right.
called Green for All on the West Coast, and it went across
right.
the country, and he was able to write the Green Jobs Act. And he was a part of Obama's administration until some Republicans told Obama he had to go. But the long and short of this thing, after Katrina hit New Orleans and the Bush administration Union were so embarrassed on how they bundle-handling that national disaster that they passed the Green Jobs Act in 2007, and Obama was elected in 2008, and when that Green Jobs Act resulted in $500 million, $10 million went out to every state in the Union. The issue is, where was the workforce development training money? Why didn't it reach the black communities in all 50 states of the United States of America? And when I asked the African American solar installation design owners and workforce development training companies around this country, and they said, we like to know. So what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, we brought this to the Congressional Black Caucus and asked them to let us roll this presentation out, something that means more than just a slogan, because if black lives really matter, we need to be stepping to Microsoft, Amazon, and asking these companies who have put Amazon has made a $2 billion pledge. They're going to buy 850 megawatts of energy over the next 3 years. Mr. Shirley, could you explain in terms of energy and dollars and cents, if you had off-takers that would give you a 20% commitment to buy energy from your company, what you would be able to do in helping farmers and other black families who want to develop large-scale solar megawatt farms in the state of Mississippi?
Yes, sir. If we were in that position, if we, not only Sundial Solar, but only other black companies around the nation can dip into that commitment that is made, we would be much better off in helping our own communities out in terms of understanding the economic benefit of solar all around. So it by not being able to grab part of these contracts and not being in position to do that, or not having an organization that pushes for that very thing to happen, such as the National Association of Blacks in Solar, it ain't gonna happen. We have to have a structure in place that guarantees, that goes into those corporate boardrooms and guarantees a company like mine a place at the table. We do not have that type of national concern, but we do now. All black Americans should be very, very interested in this and concerned about it and demand some action on it, because the time is passing, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, we cannot get that done. Unless we sit down with our Congressional Black Caucus leaders, our mayors, and our state legislators. We have to take the ball in their court. And the only way I know to get the ball in the court is to take it to the people. We must be able to syndicate this show over the WOLs of this world, Radio One's Dr. Kathy Hughes' radio network, where she goes into 76 markets. We have to get this information to the earlobes and the heads and minds of our young people, because we know that coal and oil companies, they have dominated the market share, and they still do, as it relates to being the major sources of providing energy in this country. But their time has come. And because of climate change and the emissions going into this air and the toxins being spilled and the and the health impact it's had over our communities of color disproportionately. And with this pandemic, it just adds on top of that with those people who have pre-existing conditions. We need to be demanding this from our political leaders. And what I'm saying, sir, is that maybe our cough is a little too black, because the black it is, the strong it is. And I'm talking about we got to take it to the house. It's just like my coach used to say, when you plant your feet, son, and you turn it up, you got to take it to the house. This is what we're saying. We cannot afford to lose this ball game, ladies and gentlemen.
And we won't.
And
we won't.
But we got
now
to
listen to
this moment. I understand that it won't, but we can't do it without the people.
I understand. And that is the reason why I have spoken with my legislator that represents my district where I live. She has committed to making way for a presentation to a joint committee in the House to listen to the presentation about the National Association of Blacks in Solar. So I'll be giving a presentation to the state of Mississippi, at least to the Black Caucus, and certain other chambers, certain other committees, next year, the first part of next year. But, you know, we have a long road to go, but we're on this road forever, and we're going to fight until we get this organization up and running, and so that we can get some equity in the industry.
Well, Mr. Will, I know that you know that when you call me up to say, yes, brother,
and again,
that's all I can say to that, because the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, is a cooperative, and we've reached out to all of our solar installation and design companies over the last 4 years and asked people to join. And folks have told me, oh, yeah, I'm in, I'm with you, but ain't no membership. But we have the memberships online. So what I'm saying to people is the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative has been serving the same purposes as the National Association of Blacks in Solar. But I have no problem with working with Mr. Will, Mr. Davis, and under this new banner, because this organization is going to be a 501c3 organization, which will allow us to go after some grants. We are an LLC, so we can work together, and that will happen. But what I'm saying is, in order for us to roll this out, we need a groundswell of attention around the issue of racism in the solar industry. And the fact of the matter is that these companies have had 12 years of growth and opportunity, and they didn't hire people then.
Right.
Now, during the pandemic, with all of these jobs being lost in the market, and right before the pandemic, there were a several shows around some of that litigation, but was not able to get into the attorney's office. But as we step this platform up to the next level, and we get it on a radio broadcasting frequency that's reaching across the nation, I'm quite sure we won't have a problem with getting those folks to come and share the information with our people. But what I'm saying is we cannot allow minority to mean only white women in this industry. and for them to get what few things, opportunities that are falling off the table that the large white solar companies are already getting. And as we begin to look at what's going on in these states, these people are consolidating, merging together, bringing their little smaller companies together, merging with each other so they can play big boy ball. And that's what the National Association of Blacks in Energy will do, will allow our 20 companies to come together so we can play in the pro league. It won't be, we won't be playing amateur ball no more. We're going to step up in the real game of this solar industry, but we have to come together.
And to your point that getting our folk aware, making our folk aware of what's actually happening in the industry is should be our first priority. We have to do that on a national basis, and I think the National Association, along with Positive Change, the platform that Positive Change is operating on right now in terms of the podcast, that this needs to be distributed all over the nation. Your podcast needs, because all you're doing is dealing with the facts and data, so the facts and data equals truth. So nobody can go against the truth unless they have other motives. Now, a lot of people have a lot of other motives, but we have to fight through that with the truth. And the truth needs to be spread nationwide, and that should be one of the first priorities of the National Association of Blacks in Solar.
That should be a priority. You gave me more than 30 minutes today. You've already given me almost an hour. This time has gone. I wanted to let you know that I did reach out to Mrs. Candace Lyles, who's the CEO of WDC Solar, for us to join us on this podcast today, but she indicated she had a medical appointment, so I understand that. And because I wanted people to know that when someone's willing to write a check for you for $5,000 for 90 minutes to send it to one of our organizations, such as the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation, it ain't about the money, it's about supporting them. But they got to understand when, once they saw what we sent to them, because I know they read it, and it was a little too strong maybe for the Constitution, but you can't hold this information back. Now, we will be putting together our own Zoom call, and I'm hoping we'll be able to bring this to fruition by September the 29th, 2020. And we will put together a Zoom call, and all the individuals that we were going to pursue to be panelists for the Virtual Brain Trust through their portal will be in our portal. So we're going to have this conversation nationally for our people, but we're going to do a little more promoting to let people know that this is on the way, because the way that they're really marketing this thing, even if we would have gotten one of those slots that they claim they didn't have, they're really not promoting this thing the way it should be for what they're charging folks. So we're going to continue to beat this drum around getting this information out about the National Association of Blacks in Solar, and we're trading as Blacks in Solar, so people will know our website is under construction. We've already incorporated the organization. We have our logo for the organization, but we're still working, trying to put some things in. But in the meanwhile, anything that you need to know, you can go to Positive Change, P as in Paul, C as in Cat, .com. That's Positive Change, PC.com. The email address is info@PositiveChangePC.com. And this show now and the future, with its economic impact on Black America, is streaming, as I've indicated, over worldwide, over Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, and we will soon be tying in our YouTube TV channel. So we're going to get this out, ladies and gentlemen, to you. And as we say on this industry, about this show, if there's a will, there's definitely a way. So, Mr. Will, I want you to close out now, give people your contact information, and if someone wants to get into contact with Sundial Solar, how they go about doing that.
Yes, sir, and I appreciate that. Sundial Solar is based in Jackson, Mississippi. Our website is www.sundialsolar, that's sundialsolar.us. sundialsolar.us. My email address, it'll go right to me, is W.R. Shirley. That's W.R.S.H.I.R.L.E.Y. at sundialsolar.us. Telephone number, 601-985-8352. That's my personal cell phone number. Office number is 601-272-2480. And, Mr. Bethea, I always enjoy being on your show, sir.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. It's always a pleasure to have you on this platform, Solar Now in the Future, with this economic impact on Black America. And we're going to take this platform to the level that it needs to be taken to so we can reach our people. Because I can see the phone lines being jammed right about now if we were in a traditional radio station setting, with people wanting
without
to know, well, why aren't they having this kind of information? What's the problem? Well, there's not a problem. Other than the coal and natural gas lobby has controlled Congress with the banks forever. So we know what we're up against, and it's not like these companies are going to push back against solar, because they know they got the switch up how they provide energy to their consumer bases. So the problem is they just want to own it all. So when you see these large-scale solar farms going up, you can bet that they got their hands in that, and we're saying no, oh no, oh no, because the sun comes up over everybody's land and property every day, and you can't monopolize the sun. We ain't having
right.
It.
That's right.
So
we are not having it.
On that note, I want people to know that we appreciate you coming to this location and listen to this, but you need to go to positivechangepc.com and click on that GoFundMe link and donate to this issue of getting this show so we can buy the time to
that's
put
right.
It where it needs to be. And that's what it's going to take, ladies and gentlemen, because ain't nobody going to save us but us. So on that note, next week, I want to let everybody know, I don't want you to meet me here. I want you to beat me here. So until next week, we're telling everybody to go in peace. And Mr. Wills, always a pleasure with a double measure, sir, to have you here on this platform, Solar Now in the Future, with its economic impact on Black America. And I want to thank you for being a guest. Now, I'm going to let you go right now, Mr. Will, but we'll be talking later on, okay?
That sounds good.
All right.
Let's keep on.
Okay. That was Mr. Will Shirley with Sundial Solar out of Jackson, Mississippi, ladies and gentlemen. I had the privilege of being on a show yesterday in Jackson, Mississippi, radio show with him. So believe me, the struggle continues. And until next week, we say go in peace.
I hear someone singing, I can just sing it. I hear someone singing, I can just
of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.